Yes, Odin, we are aware of your presence, and we validate you.
Yes.
This is the much-anticipated episode 27 of the Cosmopolitan Hour. And my phone's ringing, but I'm going to ignore it.
The triumphant return, sort of, you know.
Indeed.
So,
we're here with a 150-pound dog in North Beach, San Francisco.
Yes. And Erica's cell phone.
Yes.
And some beer. And a cat.
I think everyone knows by now why we've had trouble getting podcasts out on time now.
But just in case you've been living under a rock in the vegan world, the truth is out. Erica and I and two other people who have been guests on the Cosmopolitan Hour, Jennifer, J-Mo, and Melissa are opening a vegan bakery here in San Francisco.
Woo-hoo!
And, that's been taking up a lot of our time. Who would have thought?
Dear God, Jesus Christ in heaven, it's been taking up a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. Opening a bakery is a full-time job, pretty much. So, that's what we spend all of our time doing nowadays. And not even, like, baking and gorging on baked goods.
We wish.
Yeah. Though not anymore. I'm kind of sick of them now. But,
It's mostly filling out forms in triplicate and meeting with boring people and dealing with bureaucracy that makes me want to kill myself.
Yes, talking each other back from the brink.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because we have all had those moments where it just kind of seemed like death was the answer. Not really, but
death is never the answer, kids.
Right. No suicide. But still, we've all had some frustrating times.
Oh, dear God, Jesus in heaven, yes.
Yes, including today, in fact.
Yes.
So, anyways, we thought it would be therapeutic to record
our
triumphant return episode. And
and hopefully we can keep doing, I would like to keep doing episodes. We probably can't do weekly episodes anymore. But
we may not be able to for a while, until we get the bakery open and then we can just slack off, you know. While it's
we'll
open.
We'll be living on your money, bitches! Woo!
That's right. So, look for us early in the new year and come to San Francisco and visit us and eat our baked goods. They will be good.
We guarantee it.
And one of us will be working at the counter, we guarantee, because we don't have any employees. So, hooray!
Whee!
So, I can't even remember what the last podcast was or what we talked about. If there's anything that we should be following up on, or
I think it was mostly just frustration about sexist billboards and stuff like that.
I see. Well, I don't know. I mean, what's going on now in, late 2009, now that we're here?
Well, I'm turning 30 this week.
That's true.
In fact, by the time this podcast episode comes out, I will probably already be 30.
That's huge news.
And the 150-pound dog is congratulating me right now by shaking my hand.
Yes.
While simultaneously trying to grope my boobs.
Yes.
It's a bit rude, Odin.
It is a little rude.
Aw.
Oh, well, there you go.
But that's cute.
Yeah. Now he's just... Yeah. You can hear that, listeners. That was the sound of a 150-pound dog settling on Erica's lap.
This dog is seriously awesome. This is the most awesome fucking dog in the universe.
He's a pretty awesome dog.
I could make a tent out of one of his ears.
That's true.
Not that I would, because that would not be vegan, but...
Right.
I'm just saying. I could.
Yes. And he's a rescue, so...
Yay!
Just in case there's anybody listening who would ever consider not adopting, and if they were going to get a dog or cat.
Yeah, you could end up with a 150-pound dog.
Yeah.
Come on, do it.
Dogs of all shapes and sizes at your local animal rescue.
And today is also Adam Ant's birthday. Happy birthday, Adam Ant.
How long have you been a fan of Adam Ant?
Since college, so a little over 10 years now.
What's the best thing about him?
The fact that he's also a Scorpio. The fact that he was an original punk rocker, even though he totally sold out later on. But, I can forgive him for that because he's a sexy bitch. So, although he's very tiny. I think he's like, I don't know, 5'4" or something. He's a little man. He's a very little man.
I know that there are some listeners who may or may not still listen, but who are also fairly small like that. So it is nice to know, perhaps, that you can be a sexy bitch at 5'4"
yeah.
and very likely below. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so speaking of little men.
Yes.
There was the hilarious Drunken Ewok episode of the Today Show.
I actually did not see the Drunken Ewok, or I didn't see it with sound. I just kind of saw a little bit of it.
And you didn't really miss much with the sound off. You know, you saw some breakdancing, hopefully, and some leg humping.
Oh, yes.
And
always a treat.
And I got kind of annoyed because maybe I can go on a little rant here because it's strange that as a tall person, I feel oddly defensive of little people. And I get really pissed off when people say midget when they mean dwarf. There is a difference between midgets and dwarves, people. A midget is not a dwarf. And in fact, many little people or dwarves, to call them by the proper, dwarfs actually, to call them by the proper medical term, and I will get into that later, find the term midget to be very offensive. So do not call little people or dwarfs midgets. If they're a dwarf, they're a dwarf, or a little person, or an LP. But according to Wikipedia, when I was researching my outrage, this is a very, here's a fun fact for you.
Mm-hmm.
The plural for people with the medical condition known as dwarfism is dwarfs, with an F.
Not like the band?
No.
Huh. The dwarfs. But
the mythical being, the plural is dwarves with a V.
Huh.
So just keep that in mind next time, you know, you have to pluralize the word dwarf.
So the dwarves are much more like whimsical than
they're apocryphal, mining, hardy underground beings.
I see.
Humanoids.
I see. Well, that's interesting.
Whereas dwarfs are above ground human beings of smaller stature.
Yes.
Who are not apocryphal and probably do not mine for gems, unless that's what they particularly like to do as a hobby and or profession.
Right.
But don't stereotype or pigeonhole them, and don't call them midgets.
Good.
Yes.
Yes.
And just to wrap up my whole tall person standing up for little person kind of thing, I knew a woman who was, I think, 6'2". And she knew that famous dwarf little man from Jackass.
Okay.
And so she made out with him because she thought it would be hilarious that she's so huge and she's making out with little man. That's why she made out with little man.
Nice.
And apparently he didn't turn it down. So, hey, there you go.
All right. Well, good for both of them because they both got some action.
Right on.
I actually had a friend who is a dwarf back in Edmonton who was kind of awesome because he customized a Vespa so that he could ride his scooter around, and he was pretty cool. I mean, he still is. I've lost touch with him a little bit since I moved, but he used to be my drinking buddy.
Nice.
So that was fun. And he could outdrink me by quite a bit.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So
maybe he was one of the Ewoks. Do you know what he's been up to lately? Because he could be an actor.
It's true. He wasn't in the field of acting. He had a very banal job. but you know, it's true. It's anything is possible. You know,
live your dreams.
Right. Right.
You too can hump Brian Gubble's leg one day.
Right.
Or was it Brian Gubble or Al Roker?
I don't even know. I think it might have been Brian Gubble.
I don't know who's on the Today Show. I don't watch that kind of shit.
Me either. I can't believe that it's still on. Like, I think it carries less appeal for me if I'm channel surfing, if I'm trying to find something to watch, than, like, an infomercial. Like, I'd probably rather watch the ShamWow guy than watch something like the Today Show.
Yeah.
Because seriously, like, what is there on that show that appeals to
anybody? There's more
of
an interesting backstory when you're watching the ShamWow commercial than but when even, you're watching
but
the Today Show.
It doesn't even have to be that guy. Like, it could be just any infomercial that's just gone. Yeah. Well, at least they've probably got some, you know, hyperbolic product or something like that. That's always interesting.
Yes. Infomercials are a lot like those Japanese books that come out of useless inventions.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, I think I probably could have gotten by without doing anything, without buying that, but that's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So I watched a really bad movie the other day. Because, yes, I'm here in North Beach. I'm dog sitting. And for whatever reason, well, no, it's because my computer is over 5 years old. My wireless thing doesn't always work the way it should, so I haven't been able to hook up to the internet. So I've been watching some bad TV, and I watched a movie called Maid of Honor.
I've heard about that one.
M-A-D-E.
Yeah.
Starring Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy. Who I think
also starring Kevin McKidd from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I know.
I considered watching it for like about 2.7 seconds. I was like, Kevin McKidd? No, I'm not gonna do
Kevin McKidd as, you know, like hardcore, like fairy tale Scottish man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that he has some Scottish ancestry.
Oh, he's from Scotland.
Oh, is he from...
Yeah.
Okay. Because his accent sounded a little questionable, I have
to really?
Say. Saying this as a person from a Scottish family.
Yes, you are the authority of all things Scottish.
Right, definitely, of course. You know, I'm the first fall
you,
to be
Scottish
born.
Man, your accent sounds fake.
Maybe they asked him to play it up and it sounded
maybe.
Fake for the thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just from a different region than everybody. But
yeah.
Anyways, but it kind of, you know, speaking of dwarves, the mythical
yes.
creatures and and the confusion of dwarfs with dwarves kind of made me think about that movie, because that movie really kind of mythicizes Scottish people.
Oh, really?
Which, you know, I thought I would have been kind of amused by, but not so
much. Don't you
much.
Feel magical and blessed?
Well, the plot of the story is that this woman is best friends with Patrick Dempsey, and they've been best friends for a long time, and you know, he's a womanizer, and she's always single, and they've never hooked
up.
Or they hooked
two.
Up once or something. I don't know. They're not together. And so she goes to Scotland for something. And she's there for a couple of months, and he really misses her, and he realizes that she's his soulmate, and they have to get together, and oh my god.
And all his one-night stands with other women were just desperate attempts to rekindle what he felt with her.
Right, right, and, you know, all that stuff.
Phone it in.
Yeah, and then, so she comes back, and she says, I'm so excited to see you, I can't wait to see you, you know, cancel all your plans, and come meet me for dinner. And he shows up, and she's there with Kevin McKidd.
Oh, my God.
And it turns out that Kevin McKidd is this Scottish man who rescued her from a thunderstorm where her car broke down, and he rode up on a horse and saved her from in the middle of a herd of cows.
And
that
he was
surrounded
dressed
with...
blue. He was painted blue and wearing a kilt.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and playing golf.
Right.
No, and, well, I don't... and he wouldn't spend any money on her, but he charmed her nonetheless.
You know, it turns out his family, he's a duke of Scotland.
Of course. So he's really English.
Right. And he...
Fuck the monarchy.
And his family also makes whiskey, so scotch.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, so he, like, whisks her away, and they're going to get married. And
third cousin to Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, whatever. And and so she goes, and she goes to Scotland, and they're going to get married, like, right away. Like, next week or something like that. And so Patrick Dempsey has to try and break up the marriage. But how can he against this magical Scotsman?
Oh, my God.
And the day before the wedding, they hold the Highland Games.
Oh, okay.
But, I've never heard of this. I've been to Highland Games before.
Uh-huh.
I've witnessed in person the caber toss and
all
that malarkey. And for one...
That's a foul. I think that's an Irish word.
Okay. But it's still malarkey. I mean, have you seen a
caber
toss?
You have a strike against you on your Scottish license.
My Scottish cred. Have you ever seen the caber toss?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
In fact, my friend sent me a postcard from Scotland of a fellow performing the caber toss, and in quite a humorous fashion, the front of his kilt had flipped up at the same time, and he was wearing nothing underneath. Ha
See,
ha ha ha.
This is one inaccuracy of the film, is there are several up-kilt shots, including Patrick Dempsey, who has nice legs, but they're all wearing underpants underneath. And
oh, so the inaccuracy is that men wear underwear with their
kilts?
We
all know that real Scotchmen do not wear underpants underneath their kilts. so, anyways, so they hold these Highland Games, and, you know, Kevin McKidd has to win if he's going to be worthy of his bride or something. It's okay. Very bizarre. It's all
so not many people get married in Scotland.
Evidently. I don't know how my grandparents pulled it off or how my dad met, like... Honestly, it just seems like really kind of a pain in the ass. Though, actually, I kind of would have liked to have seen Mike do a caber toss before I got married.
Tell him it's traditional.
I told him that if we'd have gotten married, you know, like in Canada, he probably would have had to wear a kilt.
Awesome.
And he said, hell no.
Yeah, you probably have your own family tartan and everything.
We don't, actually, because our name is like a corruption of a corruption, so it's
oh
like,
my god,
it's a very we are like a subset of another family's tartan.
Okay,
so
do you get to at least pirate that family's tartan?
I believe I'm entitled to wear it. We've never really been all that big on
on
the dress because it's expensive.
and most often not vegan.
That's true. If I could get a vegan version of the tartan that I'm sort of loosely associated with, I'd probably do it, but yeah, I don't know. Anyways, my meandering bad description here is basically all just going to say that, you know, dwarfs are fetishized, I think, often, and so are Scottish people.
Yes.
And it's kind of, as a Scottish person, I find it a bit annoying.
Well, as a Swedish person, I can relate completely.
Right.
Case in point, the 80s beer ads that utilized the non-existent Swedish bikini team. Get it? Swedes are sluts. That's hilarious.
Well,
they're all blonde and have perfect bodies and big boobs and love to have sex with strange men.
I thought it was just that Swedes were hot.
I resent that accusation.
What? I
blame the movies I Am Curious, Yellow and Blue, for that stereotype.
I see.
Because they were kind of groundbreaking sexual liberation movies, and everyone was like, whoa, Swedish chicks love to have sex and get fucked, and, you know. Which is ironic that this image of the blonde, perfect-bodied Swedish woman came out of that, because the protagonist of that film was... I think she might have been blonde, but I think her hair was, like, darker. It wasn't, like, platinum blonde, like this stereotype of Swedish women. And she, you know, she was a bit of a curvier woman. You know, she didn't have this, like, perfect bikini body with big boobs and, like, a tiny waist. You know, she had a little bit of a belly going on. She was more of a, you know, your average, like, size 12 woman with a little bit of a belly.
Hmm.
So it's very interesting that people kind of cherry-picked what stereotypes they wanted to take from that message.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, the stereotypes that are supposed to apply to me are that I'm ugly and a tightwad and a drunk.
And you have red hair.
Right. Well, no, that's more Irish than Scottish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought Scots were supposed to have red hair.
No, Scots look more like me. Apparently I look very Scottish because I have dark hair and very dark, thick eyebrows, but light eyes and a fair complexion.
I see.
So, apparently I'm like the classic ugly Scottish woman.
And you're often seen swimming the waters of Lake Ness.
Right.
frightening tourists.
Yeah, because I'm a mythical being like that.
Much like dwarves.
Exactly. Exactly. I like the thread that we've been able to pull out of this.
And it's full circle.
Yeah.
And seen. So that's funny that you thought Kevin McKidd's accent was fake, because Pronto and I have this thing about, like, you know, really bad fake accents kind of drive me nuts. Like, like I could never get into Buffy the Vampire Slayer because Spike's accent was so horribly fake. And I was like, oh, that guy needs to go back to dialogue class or dialect or whatever, you know. He needs to get an accent coach or, you know, meet an actual British person once in his life. But bad American accents drive me nuts, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been watching this really good show with Robson Green called Wire in the Blood, which is basically, Well, it's kind of like that great Robbie Coltrane, another great Scotsman, mm-hmm. that great Robbie Coltrane series Cracker, about a criminal psychologist who kind of, he cracks cases by profiling people and then getting the murderers to confess by, you know, pushing all their psychological buttons.
Not called Cracker because he's a white guy.
Yeah, exactly. So Wire in the Blood is pretty much the poor man's Cracker. It's pretty much a direct ripoff. It's like, we want to do Cracker, but Robbie Coltrane's all tied up with Harry Potter. Let's get Robson Green and set it in Yorkshire. And so it's pretty much the exact same show, but despite that, it's kind of grown on us. So last night we watched this episode where Robson Green's character, Dr. Tony Hill, meets a woman from Canada on one of his book tours, and she is an erotomaniac, which is, it's a person who deludes themselves into thinking that the object of their affection, they are in a relationship with that person, and that person is, like, sending them secret signals or, like, special glances, and they interpret this as, like, oh, you know, he sent me flowers, when really they ordered the flowers themselves, and, you know, like, Audrey Tautou is in a movie called He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not, about an erotomaniac.
Hmm.
It's a very interesting entry on Wikipedia about erotomania. So anyway, he meets this woman who's supposedly from Canada. Canada, I'm doing big air quotes there, because we've noticed that in British TV dramas and, like, made-for-TV movies and stuff, British actors are really shit at doing convincing American and Canadian accents. And of course, that's accepting the greats, like, you know, Kate Winslet does a very good American accent.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of very, you know, well-paid, respectable actors that do very good American and Canadian accents.
Such
but,
as Hugh Laurie, who
yes,
is, like,
exactly.
who I would not have ever
yes.
known.
And Dominic West from
yes.
The Wire. And who else? The guy that plays Jax on Sons of Anarchy. He's British. I was like, what? I couldn't believe it when I found that out. So they're very good.
Yes.
But they're on a lot of BBC shows. I don't know where they get these actors, but they do not do American accents at all. And this one was like, actually, I'm from Canada. And she talks like this the whole time. And it's very enunciated.
Though, you know, I don't know if that's as bad as many American actors' portrayals of Canadian accents.
Oh, yeah?
Because let me tell you, the way that you Americans think that we speak is not on. You guys
Is it people just doing an impersonation of Fargo, and they think that's how Canadians
sort
speak?
Sort of, yeah. Well, and yeah. they say things... honestly, I know it's never going to get fully put to rest, but the oot and a boot thing... I don't say that. You now, you know, this is episode 27, so if you've been
yeah.
listening, you've now listened to me talk for 26 hours, or, you know, give or take.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, I will concede that Canadians maybe say out and about a bit differently than mm-hmm. Americans, but we do not say oot and a boot. We
no.
just don't say that. And they're so... many American actors who play Canadians, and I know that a lot of it, they play it up for comedic effect and
yeah.
everything, but I don't know. I think that the Canadian accent is a lot more nuanced and subtle than you Americans give it credit for, and you all need to, all you American actors need to step up your game.
Oh.
And British actors too,
yes.
evidently.
Yeah. Yeah. Her Canadian accent was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was... British actor trying to be American with a touch of Canada, and it just, it was a mess.
It didn't work.
It was
work.
Bad. Bad
yeah.
news. And another good example of a horrible, even Monty Python's Meaning of Life, their American accents were really bad. But the really bad one was the original TV series of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
We were watching that a few days ago, and the actress playing Trisha McMillan said something about, like, I'm, you know, she's talking, like, I'm very American, and let me look at our galaxy guide, A to Z. And I was like, Americans don't say Z!
Canadians
oh!
do!
But I think Trisha McMillan's supposed to be American. Maybe she's supposed to be Canadian. But at any rate, it was a bad accent, whatever
yes.
it was supposed to be. Yes.
Well, whatever, all you actors out there.
Yeah, take some acting classes, jerks.
I would like to see Hugh Laurie try and do a Canadian accent. Do you think that if I wrote him a letter very nicely, he'd record a little YouTube clip or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read that he wants to quit doing House because pretending to limp for so many years has actually fucked up his leg for real.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That is sad.
I really like him as House. Like,
he's House very good.
House is kind of a shitty TV show. I mean, like, I don't know. I think it started off better than it is now. It's kind of a victim of its own popularity, I think, a little bit. Stop that, cat. but Hugh Laurie is pretty great.
He is.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. He's old enough to be my dad, and I would still do him.
He's a good-looking man.
He is.
He dodged the British bullet there.
Yeah, he really did. Pretty good teeth, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, British listeners.
I have to say, I really like him better as a comedic actor, but I think all around he is an excellent actor, no matter what he's doing.
Yeah.
But he cracks me up when he's doing funny stuff. He's got that goofy thing going on for him.
Yes.
So speaking of horrible TV shows,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard, but Trauma got canceled.
Oh, I did hear about that. Yes.
The entire run of the show has been while we're not recording anything, so we haven't talked about Trauma at all. But that shit is hilarious.
I still have not watched any Trauma, except my life has been interrupted by it several times now.
You've been experiencing Trauma.
I've been experiencing it in real life because, the Trauma is a like a medical drama.
It's an action show about paramedics and EMTs on the streets of San Francisco, except it's totally
fake.
It's like it's like if Poochie, remember that episode of The Simpsons where Poochie gets introduced to Itchy and Scratchy?
Yeah.
It's like if Poochie grew up and moved to Hollywood and then directed Trauma. That's right. What this show is. It's Poochie directing a show about paramedics in San Francisco with lots of, hint, sexual innuendo that's about as subtle as a baseball bat over the head. And there's just, I will fully cop to watching every single episode on Hulu because I would watch it and laugh my ass off and be like, that's 280 outside of Daly City. That's not the Bay Bridge. Or, since when do San Francisco air paramedics rescue rich housewives in Marin? There's no Hayes Boulevard. The Alhambra Theater isn't in the Castro District. I would just be a pedantic little asshole like that.
I like that, though. I mean, though, Trauma is giving me my first real taste of California life, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not my very first, but...
you mean like living in a movie set?
Yeah, because where I'm from, I think there were a couple of movies filmed there during the 27 years that I lived in Edmonton.
I believe a recent Brad Pitt film was filmed.
That's true,
actually. The Jesse James one.
And actually, I made chocolate cake for Casey Affleck,
who is
vegan and who, Kat, come on, who is in that movie. The cat, pardon us, we've got a cat problem here.
Macho Libre.
Yes. But anyways, so Casey Affleck has eaten my baking.
I think we should say that again, but with Casey Affleck has eaten my cake. That way we can use it as a soundbite and take it out of context.
Okay,
and be like, ooh, gross, Jordan.
Casey Affleck has eaten my cake.
Oh my god, girlfriend, no you didn't.
But it was really funny because while they were shooting in Edmonton, I was working at a vegetarian cafe, Cafe Mosaics, that I worked at for quite a long time and was a real staple in the Edmonton vegetarian and vegan scene. And Casey Affleck was staying in this boutique hotel that was just down the street from the restaurant. And every day we would get calls from his personal assistant or whatever.
His handler.
And they were very we'd get these calls that were saying, Mr. Jones would like to order, blah, 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 all vegan. And it was very, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And finally, after, 10 days of us getting these orders every single day, we're like, okay, seriously? We get it. It's Casey Affleck. He's staying a block away. He's vegan.
What would Mr. Affleck like today? The usual?
Yeah. We're just we're not going to fall over and pee our pants because we're making a sandwich for Casey Affleck. It's okay. You can just... cut the shit. And they didn't. They totally didn't cut the shit. But then on the last day that he was there, He ordered.
Came in and was like, "Surprise! It's me." You had no idea.
He was pretty understated. He was actually pretty nice. But he ordered like a whole chocolate cake because we were pretty well known for our vegan chocolate cake, and I was the person doing the baking, and so I got to hand him his chocolate cake and
wow,
yeah,
starstruck.
I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of gave it to him. And turned around and walked away without even acknowledging him, which was pretty, that was pretty much how we operated.
You heard it here first. When you come to San Francisco's first vegan bakery, you will be eating cake shaped by the hands that once fed Casey Affleck.
It's true.
You will be eating on the same level as Casey Affleck.
And actually, another celebrity who ate at the cafe, though not while I was working there, was Sissy Spacek.
Oh, cool.
Which was pretty cool.
I'd be more amped to give her a cake than Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
Here you go, Miss Spacek.
Well, it was pretty awesome because she was, I think she must have been filming a movie there too, and she, but she came in person all the time, I guess.
Oh, nice.
This was right before I moved back to Edmonton.
None of this Ms. Jones bullshit.
Yeah, but then there are all these pictures up all over the walls of, like, everybody who worked there with Sissy Spacek.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. Anyways, Edmonton, movie town. Not so much.
Yeah.
There was a Chevy Chase movie filmed.
Which one?
Snow Day was filmed in Edmonton.
Okay.
And
it's like a kids movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's also...
I was hoping you'd say Funny Farm, because I saw that several times when
I was young.
It had
to be a snow-related one. A winter one.
Yeah, of course.
but then there was also... what was it? Oh, Santa's Sleigh.
Oh,
S-L-A-Y.
Nice.
That was from On My Street. Like,
snap.
The street where I grew up as a child.
Sweet.
So, actually, that's on our holiday watching list this year.
Excellent.
But anyway, so that, in 27 years, those were the movies that were filmed in Edmonton.
Oh, okay.
So, we, like, this whole thing where you're going to get groceries and all of a sudden you're not allowed to use, like, 4 square blocks of your neighborhood because they're filming a bus crash.
Yeah.
It's very foreign to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband Mike, who lived in LA for 4 years, told me about, you know, what a pain in the ass it was to have stuff filming outside his house, like, all the time. But
at least you don't live in the Painted Ladies on Alamo Square.
That's
because
true.
Then you'd have people knocking on your door every fucking day, like, is this where Full House was filmed?
Yeah.
Can I say hi to DJ Tanner? Do you have Bob Saget in your attic?
Do you think that decreases the property value? Like, do you think that you have to...
Nah.
No.
Well, actually, maybe.
I wonder.
I don't know.
Like, because there's the Seward Street slides.
Uh-huh.
They're like these... For non-Bay Area residents, they're these big concrete slides that are, like, up on the top of one of the big hills in the Castro here in San Francisco. And it's a little tiny park on a steep hill that was designed by a 14-year-old. I don't know how that ended up happening, but it's just these two slides and you, like, you know, sit on a piece of cardboard and you go rocketing down.
I think it's for, like, rainwater, isn't it? Like,
no, they're slides.
They're designed to be slides.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought they were meant to prevent flash floods or something.
No, they're awesome, though. We should go sometime because they are really fun. But the woman who lives in the house right next door to them is, like, this totally miserable cunt. Like, she's always yelling at people out of her window to be quiet. And it's like, well, you bought the house next to one of these, like, next to, you know, this popular kids and drunks attraction, you know? Like, you knew full well going in when you bought this house that there were going to be little kids screaming and yelling and drunks screaming and yelling all the time.
Got a 150-pound dog gently taking my hand into his mouth, and
he's
working it around like a gumball.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you just like it, having that hand in your mouth.
It looks he's giving birth. It looks like his mouth is giving birth to your hand.
It feels like his mouth is giving birth to my hand.
Nice. Odin.
A very pleasant feeling.
Yikes.
Yeah, you're a little weirdo, but I kind of like it, because you're cute.
Yeah. Oh dear. I feel like I'm being condescending, thinking that this dog, who is so much bigger than me, is cute, but I feel like I should be like, respect him because he's bigger than you.
Yeah. He is like a 150-pound baby. He really is.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
It's kind of terrifying to think that, you know, like, you think babies are super cute, but Jesus Christ, imagine if one of them was 150 pounds and, like, 10 times stronger than you. Babies would be fucking terrifying.
Oh, they would be really scary. I already find
And that's what this dog
scary,
is like. But, yeah. This dog is adorable and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
And he could snap my hand in half if he so wished. And yet I gently and trustfully place it in his mouth. And he just sucks on it like a gobstopper. Because that's just the kind of dog you are.
You are a weird kind of dog, aren't you?
You are so weird.
Yeah, you are kind of weird.
So yeah, I have issues with trauma, and I'm glad it got canceled because, oh, you are so gross. There was an episode, I think 2 weeks ago, where a fire breaks out in a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown. And the firefighters go to put it out. And surprise, there's a brothel full of horribly oppressed but beautiful and fluent in English Chinese women in the basement.
Right.
Like, all Chinese restaurants have a brothel in the basement. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, this show is fucked up and racist. Bruh!
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, like, how many times have you eaten at a Chinese restaurant that hasn't had a brothel in it?
True. I can't tell you how many times I've had to send back my wonton soup because it had a used condom floating in it. Hey, keep your two businesses separate. Come on. No more sex in the kitchen, guys.
Waiter, there's a condom in my soup.
Yes.
It's a whole new genre of joke.
Quiet down or else everyone will want one. So I told you this funny story, but I think I should relay it for our listeners that okay. The bus up here to where your house sitting goes through San Francisco's Chinatown. And as I stood up to get off the bus, two ladies that got on in Chinatown were speaking to each other in Cantonese.
All right. And they, oh, no.
They pointed at my arm where I have tattoos of my two beloved dogs. And not including the third dog who is happily munching on my finger right now. But the lady, like, kind of gestured towards my arm and said something, and I recognized the word dog, and I knew she was talking about my tattoos. And they were having this whole conversation, and I knew they were talking about me, but my Cantonese isn't good enough to understand what they were saying. So I was like, all right, I'm totally fucking blow their minds. And then right before I got off the bus, I turned and said in Cantonese to them, I can speak Cantonese, and then got off the bus. And I was like, yes, mind's blown. Although, you know, they might not have cared at all. So
I think they probably would have cared.
I did my bit to blow a mind today.
Good work.
This dog is crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Is he being gentle?
He is being gentle.
Huh. I'm not that familiar with dog behavior, so to me it kind of looks like he's trying to chew your arm off.
Yeah, it would appear that way, but he's being very gentle.
Yeah, he looks happy. He looks like he's smiling.
Yeah, you know what it is? He's just upset he doesn't have opposable thumbs, because he really wants to be thumb-sucking right now. So that's what you want to do. That's all you care about. Yeah. You just want to suck my thumb. That's
all right.
Cool.
Good job, Odin.
Yeah, that's
way to
all
go.
Right.
Way to go. Yes, this is the Dr. Doolittle version of the podcast.
Is, it
As
really
we were trying
is.
To get set up to start, we had Odin, you know, chewing on Erica, and then we had the cat sitting on the computer.
Yes, it was interesting.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm used to seeing, I'm used to having stuff shut down for filming because the town where I grew up in Sonoma County is very quaint and picturesque and has a lot of Victorian architecture, so it gets chosen as a film location a lot, and lots of films.
What is that? No,
he's totally dissing you. He's trying to facepalm you.
You can't chew on my arm. I'm sorry. My arms are my own.
Calm down, little dude. Big dude.
Yeah.
Oh, look at those big formidable jaws.
Yes.
Oh, so I just finished yesterday a very cool book about the Indian occupation of Alcatraz.
Oh, yes.
From 1969 to 1971. And it was very interesting. And I was going to tell you, I was going to ask you, but I might as well ask you on the podcast so our viewer or listeners can be aware that this is an annual event in San Francisco and worth checking out. Every year on Thanksgiving, they have a sunrise ceremony on Alcatraz where people of all the different Indian nations come and perform ceremonies and thank the spirits and stuff like that. So
that's very cool.
I am going to try and get tickets this year. If you would like to come along, you are welcome to come.
Yeah.
You have to get up butt-ass early at like 5 a.m.
That's okay.
It's totally insane.
I think that we're going to have to get used to that anyway.
Yeah. But, it's very interesting. It's fun to go and really educational and enlightening. And but you also have to put up with a lot of white hippies.
Right.
Who, you know, I mean, obviously.
With their sage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the real Indians come around with their sage. And the white people get way too into it and, you know, think that they're participating in a, you know, deep spiritual connection with Indian people, and the Indian people are just kind of putting up with the white people for supporting them, and you know,
right.
And obviously, you know, obviously I'm a white person, and
me too.
I could be perceived as doing such, but I like to think that
you're better than them.
Yes.
I think you are too.
But yeah, it's very interesting. And when I went, I think it was in 2003 that I went, and there were people there from the, I forget the name of the nation, but, or the tribe, but they were the tribe that welcomed the pilgrims and who participated in the actual first Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's very cool.
And they told this really interesting story about their history, about how, you know, when more,
I just got punched in the face.
When more colonizers came and, sort of started, colonizing America, they set up schools, and they actually made it illegal for that tribe to speak their native tongue and said, you have to speak English now. And if it hadn't been for the Pilgrims and the Quakers who made a written record of their language would have been completely lost. Hmm. And so the contemporary generations have relearned their language through these written records. And now they're able to like say prayers and give thanks in their language. But, you know, obviously some things have been lost just because, you know, there's only so much you can learn from a written historical record of your language.
Right.
There's little nuances that you have to learn from hearing other people speak. So,
right.
But it was very interesting to know that their language would have been completely lost if it hadn't been for the original pilgrims. So it's a really interesting thing to do. And, you know, so obviously they were visiting from New England, and then there are also a lot of local tribes. The Hoopa Indians from up near Hopland come, and like they have a dance troupe that are all like young teenage boys that are learning their culture and everything. That's really cool. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's lots of fun, and the book was really interesting. And for anybody that is unfamiliar with the occupation of Alcatraz, because I wasn't familiar with it actually, even though I'm from the Bay Area. In 1969, about 2 years after the federal government abandoned Alcatraz as a federal prison, a group of different Native Americans from tribes all over the country decided, let's go and claim it because, you know, the government has officially abandoned this land. And originally they reclaimed it. They did like a press event in 1964 with some Sioux Indians because there was a specific clause applying to Sioux Natives that said, any government land that had been abandoned could be reclaimed by the Sioux.
You're getting your ass kicked by this dog.
I just got kicked off the couch.
Wow.
Yeah.
You.
I think, is it official that this dog weighs more than you do?
Oh, this dog weighs quite a bit more.
That's hilarious. Odin, you are so rudely interrupting my very serious story.
Yeah, Odin, do you
know the Native American struggle for independence?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Imperialist.
You imperialist dog with a Norse name.
Come on.
So then in 1969, they had two more attempts, and the second attempt lasted 18 months, or 19 months, actually. And Indians of all nations... Oh, this crazy dog. Indians of all nations came and basically set up camp on Alcatraz and claimed it as Indian land. And yes, it was very cool. And to this day, when you go to Alcatraz, you can see handwritten signs painted on some of the buildings that say, you know, you're on Indian land now.
So,
huh. Yes, and it was a story written by one of the people involved in the Indian rights movement about the occupation, and it was very interesting to read.
That is very interesting. Maybe yes. I will borrow it from you.
You should. It's great.
Yes.
Oh my god, this dog's a drool monster.
I know. I'm sorry that I'm That's looking okay. after such a drooly dog.
He's cute. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's time to chew on the blanket.
On the blanket. What is wrong with you? What has gotten into you? He's just so excited to be a part of the Cosmopolitan Hour.
He is.
He just can't even contain himself.
He's been a big fan. He's been listening to all 26 episodes. He's like, I can't believe I'm on the show.
I know. I know.
If you're going to be on the show, you need to behave yourself. This is not behavior becoming of a guest.
Yes.
Okay, that's better. Sure. Thank you.
Look out the window.
Yeah. Bark at cable cars or something. Maybe you'll see Tommy Wiseau.
Yes. Yes, maybe you will.
We saw a guy at Bender's reading a book called The Room, and we started laughing because we were like, what if that was the novelization of the hit movie starring Tommy Wiseau?
That would be so awesome if that was the case. I would be really into it.
And then she had to go to the hospital on Guerrero Street.
Yeah. But she was so beautiful.
Yeah. That whole story about, like, the woman having to go to this non-existent hospital on Guerrero Street. Did you listen to that story? Like, what they were actually saying? Like, I knew this girl who was sleeping with two guys, and then one of the guys caught her and beat her up so bad she had to go to the hospital on Guerrero Street. It's like, wow, that's a hilarious story about, you know, domestic
abuse.
Violence.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. Great.
Odin, you're committing domestic violence.
You are.
Against Erica's hand.
What is fascinating about my hand?
I don't know.
Hand assault.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, God. Now he's grabbing your boobs.
He's pawing me, quite literally. Anyway, sorry, it's very distracting to have, like, a gigantic dog sharing the...
But distracting in the best possible way.
Yes, yes. It's a little different from having, like, Molly, who, you know, who can still kick my ass, but...
Who was a sad banana for Halloween.
Yes, you should definitely include a picture of Molly's costume with the
She was a
podcast.
Very sad banana.
Was she really? She didn't like
she
the hat?
She did not like the hat.
Oh.
She likes the coat.
Yeah.
She kind of feels really spiffy when she's got her banana coat on.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear
She
that.
Likes to show it off.
Right. I think there should be, like, next year, you should organize a sad dog parade for dogs in costumes.
Aw, yeah.
Because I know there was another sad dog that someone posted on the PPK, the sad Peapod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although she wasn't sad because she was in the costume, she was sad because she was afraid of cameras.
That's true. That's true. Well, we could, you know, we could make her sad by having lots of cameras on the parade route.
So what else has been going on in the vegan world?
In the vegan world?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any vegan news.
We
did VegFest with our bakery. That was lots
true.
Of fun.
That's true, VegFest.
There were lots of raw foodists there with their hilarious optimism.
Yes, and there were some...
doing lots of yoga.
There were some crazy people at VegFest, but there were mostly a lot of really awesome people.
Yeah.
When
we say crazy people, we mean everybody but you, listener.
Right. We are lucky enough to be right next to Colleen Patrick Goudreau, the esteemed vegan cookbook author and very nice person. So that was pretty cool.
And I like how on Sunday there was a woman that came up at least once. I'd like to think a couple times, and she kept talking about how everything looked so good, and she bought a ton of stuff. Like she bought a whole box full of stuff. And was saying how everything looked great and, you know, she couldn't wait to try it, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, hours later, we realized it was Corey What's-Her-Face from Skinny Bitch.
Oh, huh.
And we were like, that Skinny Bitch shit! God, fuck that! And we're like, when we see her, we're gonna give her the meanest look! And then she came and bought stuff from us, so we have to, like, grudgingly be like, thank you.
Yes,
appreciate, thank you for your custom.
Yeah.
Thanks for your business.
Yeah.
Grrr.
I was really only there on the morning, so I missed out on a lot of the scandal.
Yeah. It cracked me up, though, because, like, you know, their book's all about, like, don't be a fat pig! And then she, like, ate a bunch of our sweet stuff. And I was like, Isn't that always how it is?
I have to say, though, that the message of those books is a little confusing, because basically they seem to be saying that eat whatever the fuck you want as long as it's vegan. Yeah. Which is actually kind of an ethos I can get behind. I'm just not wild about the language that they use and the body ideal that they're perpetuating. But I mean, yeah, I'm all for a diet gurus who eat tons of vegan baked goods. as long as they, you know, keep them down and don't barf them back up or anything like that. But
please enjoy responsibly.
Yes, we should definitely make t-shirts that say stuff like that. So what else is going on in the vegan world? The veg news, Veggie Awards, the winners were announced.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, I'm sad to say that the Cosmopolitan Hour did not win for best podcast.
Bastards.
But you know what? I'm hoping that we got enough votes that next year we're nominated.
Sweet!
Yeah.
Do
so,
it!
You know, everybody, if you want to keep the Cosmopolitan Hour going, and if you want to keep us motivated to keep bringing you, you know, this hour of inanity every...
On a semi-regular basis.
...week or two, or however often we're able to get to it. when we're, you know, ass deep in bureaucracy and red tape and...
150-pound dogs.
Yeah, and, you know, write to Veg News and ask, you know, you could just write to them, like, every week until the next Veggie Awards. And ask to put the Cosmopolitan Hour on the ballot.
Suggested phrases, not mandatory, but definitely helpful, are, those bitches are hilarious.
Yeah.
I shit myself laughing. The best thing to happen to veganism since tofu.
Yeah. Or,
just suggestions.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell them that it's a refreshing departure from the, same old, we're vegan and we're gonna give you a vegan news podcast thing.
Yeah, fuck that news shit. You don't need to be informed. You just need to listen to us. That's all that matters.
I mean, it's kind of like watching The Daily Show for your news, right?
Yeah.
We're as good a source as any other, right? In all seriousness, all the other vegan podcasts are really good, except for one, and you know which one it is, which is bad, but, you know, what is going on in the vegan world besides us?
Isn't that always the question?
I know.
Wildwood is changing its formulas. OMG.
Yeah, that's true.
It got bought by a South Korean company.
Oh, well, I mean, in the vegan world that is us, there's kind of something going on, and that is we're selling t-shirts.
We are selling t-shirts to raise money to help us get through the bureaucracy of opening a bakery.
Yeah, and pay for all the unexpected expenses that have come up.
Like the hospital bill you're going to have to pay after this dog kicks your ass.
Yeah. Josh... Of Herbivore Clothing has graciously designed and donated the design.
Because he's awesome. For the
first of two limited edition fundraiser
t-shirts. That's right, collectors.
Yep, they will be available very soon. Well, they should be available by the time this podcast airs at sugarbeetsweets.com.
Yes, that's sugarbeet, B-E-A-T,
yes, not beet as in B-E-E-T.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't like those kinds of beets.
Yeah.
I
tricked the dog into chewing on his own tail. This is working. Gangbusters.
Good work.
Ha ha.
It's
a perpetual motion machine.
Is that
now
vegan if you convince a dog to eat himself? Is it vegan?
He's
to get
really gung ho about
himself?
It. He's like, alright, I'm gonna fuck this tail up, alright.
Aww.
Speaking of which, you still haven't seen Molly's corn cob leg, and she's been doing it a lot.
Yeah.
And every time she does it, I'm like, damn it, Jordan needs to see this.
I need to come out to the East Bay, clearly.
Yeah. You need to see the corn cob leg in action.
Yeah.
My dog does this hilarious thing where she chews on her leg and kind of goes back and forth, and it looks like she's eating a corn cob, but like really angrily and really fast.
Aggro.
Yes.
Corn cob.
Yeah. An angry corn cob leg.
I'm going to eat this leg, but I'm not going to be happy about it.
Totally.
Ah, dear.
Oh, look at that tail wagon. Yeah. You chewed on it, and now it's happy. Dogs are so silly.
They are silly. Yum.
Yum.
Tail.
So we had disaster this week because the Bay Bridge got closed down.
And it's going to get closed back down, apparently.
It is? Jesus yeah. Christ.
Yeah, according to the cover of the San Francisco Chronicle. So that could be wrong, because the San Francisco Chronicle is a pretty shitty paper.
Yeah, it is. You know who I blame?
Who do you blame?
Anybody who's not my grandfather, who helped build the original bridge in the 30s. That's right.
The problem was with the repair. What's been going on is basically the Bay Bridge is slowly being replaced, right?
Yes, like because the old one isn't, I guess, up to snuff for earthquakes and stuff
right,
like that.
Right. And, you know, it's what, like 70 years old
yeah.
now? So
yeah.
Considering that it's how many miles long?
It's like 4 or 5 miles long.
Yeah, that's you know, that's something that
it does have an island in between to help shore up some of the weight. But yeah, it's a long-ass bridge.
Yeah. It's an impressively long bridge. So they're gradually kind of like replacing it section by section, like
yeah.
sort of building a second bridge, but just in sections, and then they're kind of rooting the old bridge to connect with the... It's all very confusing and...
scientific.
And scientific. And they're sending a lot of the like welding and stuff like that to China to get done in China.
Really?
Yeah,
I
really
didn't know that.
Up. They're like shipping...
Well, after the Beijing Olympics, I think they are masters in the art of speed welding. Because they had to build an arena in like a year.
Yeah.
Because all their shit wasn't done, and the Olympics were like 6 months off, and they're like, new Olympic sport, speed welding.
Yeah. But it's weird because, you know, like it's this kind of like this big project on this kind of, I mean, it's not necessarily as big a, like an American icon as say the Golden Gate Bridge or
yeah.
But it's still like it's a pretty significant piece of engineering, you know, like thousands and thousands and thousands
yeah.
of people take that thing every day and kind of rely on it. So when it got shut down because part of the new stuff just like broke, like snapped
yeah.
and fell on some cars.
Yeah.
Nobody was hurt, but
yeah. Which is amazing because, and it doesn't look like this in the photos, but that shit was 5,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe nobody was hurt.
Yeah, it was totally just like dumb luck that nobody was killed.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, so the Bay Bridge totally shut down, and like everybody in the Bay Area just like started screaming and waving their hands in the air.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a pretty good assessment of the situation.
So like all the buses have been fucked up.
Yeah.
And like traffic has been all fucked up. And like my husband, who goes to work in Redwood City, which is south of the city, and the
yeah.
Bay Bridge connects, you know, the sort of pseudo island San Francisco with the East Bay.
Yeah.
My husband's commute going south from San Francisco was all fucked up.
That doesn't even make sense.
Which doesn't make sense at all, but I guess just, I don't know. Evidently people were going south and then east, or I don't even know. Everybody
yeah.
just lost their shit so completely.
Yeah.
That you just couldn't get anywhere
totally
at all in the Bay Area. So,
So they're going to close it down again? That sucks.
I think so, they are. So you're going to
Damn.
Be stuck out in the ghetto of the East Bay.
Oh, God!
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be stuck in the East Bay with my vegan soul food and Vic's chaat.
Yeah.
And my gelato. Boo-hoo!
I know. It's going to be really tough, I think.
Yeah.
I need to go out to the East Bay. I want some soul food. I could
hells yeah.
I could deal with some more of that mac and cheese. Let me tell you what.
That's what I'm doing for my birthday dinner. Like my parents are paying for my birthday dinner, and I'm not even making them take me to Millennium. I'm like, I want soul food.
Nice.
I want $5 mac and cheese.
Good call.
That shit is so good.
It
I
is
can't
really
help
good.
It. Yeah.
Do they have desserts there? Because that's something
they do,
that...
but they're very sugary, and they use canned fruits, and it's not like you know their food, their savory food is like a 10 out of 10. Their desserts are like a 5 out of 10. Mm. They're really not on the same level, which is sad.
Because I have a confession to make. I've never had sweet potato pie.
I don't know if they even have sweet potato pie there.
Huh.
I think they just have, like, fruit cobblers and stuff.
Isn't that, like, an American thing? And
it's yeah,
sort of
it's
a
soul very,
food-ish
Yeah, it's a very
thing,
soul
right?
food, southern
yeah.
food kind of thing.
I think the other soul food place that I've eaten, like, the first time that I ever had soul food was at Soul Veg in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Which, solely vegan is awesome, but Soul Veg, like... Soul Veg will kick your ass. I
awesome.
Dreamed about that food for, like, literally a couple of years
wow.
after I had it. And it was, like, like, I think the restaurant's run by the African Hebrew Israelites.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not, I think that they believe basically that, that some were, oh Jesus, all of the peoples of Africa are descendants of
right. The
Jews who were banished from Egypt.
Okay,
or something like that. I could be getting that totally massively wrong, in which case I apologize. I don't mean to be a dick. but they also apparently do not have the fondest of feelings for white people. You know, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I went there, and they had, like, deep-fried everything. Like,
nice.
Deep-fried, like, cauliflower and mushroom, like, battered and deep-fried. And, like, the most amazing barbecue sauce, and you just get, like, seitan tidbits that were, like, crusted in, like, cornmeal.
Ooh,
kind of, like, batter and then fried and then, like, dunked in this amazing barbecue sauce.
Oh, damn.
And their desserts. I always regretted, like, not getting some kind of, like, more traditional southern dessert. But they have this, like, caramel kind of, like, cake thing. And I got that instead of, like, a cream pie or something like that. But, holy shit. And they had, like, the best greens ever. Like, they were super salty and, like, lemony. But, like, they made you feel like you could fly because they were so, like, vital and, like, cooked down. So there was, like, 800, like, cubic feet of greens in every bowl because they'd just been cooked for 20 hours.
So basically, like, Popeye?
Pretty much. Yeah. I went out afterwards and, like, you know, sunk some ships. And,
awesome.
And, you know.
Fought Bluto a little bit.
Yeah, I won because I'd had my greens.
Awesome.
Anyways.
Well, damn, my friend Jennifer just moved back to Chicago. Maybe I'll go visit her on the pretense of of going to get some vegan soul food.
Yeah, well, Woo. Hey, I'd come with you.
Sweet.
Yeah. Vegan soul food. But yeah, solely vegan is awesome.
Too. Nice.
But I would like to try sweet potato pie at some point because I've never had it.
Well, maybe we can serve it in the bakery someday.
Maybe we can.
Hooray!
Yeah. We'll see. Everybody wins.
Everybody does win.
Yeah.
Awesome. God,
except for me, because this dog has dog breath and he is breathing it into my face. Brush your teeth, sir.
Well, on that note, I think we should conclude this episode so we can go brush the dog's teeth.
Yeah. You can brush this dog's teeth. I don't want to brush this dog's teeth.
I am an expert doggy dentist.
That's true.
I will do it with happiness. I brush a dog's teeth every night.
It's true, with chicken flavored toothpaste.
No, she has vanilla mint flavor.
Oh, wow.
And the two combinations, yes, it's very sophisticated. And the two combination, the combination of the two flavors kind of smells like root beer.
Hmm.
And I'm kind of curious to taste it, but I don't know if it's gross to taste dog toothpaste or not.
Probably not if it's vanilla mint flavored.
Yeah.
If it was chicken flavored, maybe a little gross.
Oh, I wouldn't taste that.
Yeah.
I think it's vegan. I think it's got glycerin. I don't know if it's animal or vegetable source. But, you know, it's hard to find a vegan toothpaste for dogs. Gotta say. But, you know, there it is. So,
yes.
Hopefully we'll be back soon with episode 28. But
yeah.
I don't want to make any promises. We can't.
We can't make any promises, but we're going to try.
Yeah.
We're back on the horse a little bit. So, hopefully
a little bit,
Episode 28 might be a little easier for us to come by then.
Hooray!
Yeah. Anyways, thank you for putting up with all of our shit again.
Yes.
And
as always,
thank you for listening. We hope that you've enjoyed this very special episode of Dog Crazy.
Dog Drool.
Yeah.
And thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. Biggest gift.